Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 97 is on its way. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. You can reach us there. The Portal Gaming Podcast is also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, and we were just working with Dice Tower at Gen Con 2018. Hanging out there, if you listen to our episode 96, you'll hear all the happenings and whatnot. Thanks to Gary for helping produce that episode as well. I don't think I ever said that on there, but he was the man behind the magic in the car there, getting us all hooked up and whatnot. So hopefully that came out okay. I listened back, a couple rough spots and whatnot, but overall sounded really good. So hopefully you enjoyed that 3 hours of talking. This is going to be the opposite. This is going to be 25, 30 minutes and whatnot. Hello, I'm your host, The Brant. This one is solo. And episode 97, I'm calling, And Then We Shall Have Peace. Because peace is much needed. This has been a busy summer. Dice Tower Con, Disney World, Gen Con. My wife just finished, Kathy just finished doing a leadership summit at our church, and now we're going away for our 10-year anniversary. So, yeah, it's been a busy summer, and then back to work at school, teaching and whatnot. So, that's what that be, but the good news is the portal has been hopping. There's been lots of busy game nights there, lots of stuff coming to the table. So, you know, if you're in the area, you definitely want to check that out. Thursday nights and Sunday afternoons in particular are when there's a lot of people there, so make your way over there. Everybody's getting kind of back in the swing of things. Summer ending, and there's a lot happening. So, yeah, there's that. So you get the pleasure of listening to me for episode 97. Episode 98, Kathy and I are going to record on our anniversary trip. We're going to be playing a whole bunch of the games from Gen Con. So we are dedicated. We are committed to this podcast. So we will bring you some snippets from there. Not sure what that'll look like, but that'll be the plan. So that'll be the next episode, and then we should get Brian back on for episode 99, and then it's episode 100. So, yeah, I'll have to see where we go from there in terms of all that. But howdy, everybody. I hope everything's going well. I hope your gaming is going well. I hope your life is going well, all those kind of things. If not, that's okay. It happens, and we keep going from there. I don't have a lot of announcements and different things, so I'm just going to keep rolling through here. Definitely, you know, make sure you keep following us, keep up to date. I guess the biggest announcement or whatever is there's a bunch of games I just put in the portal, demo copies and review copies and whatnot that we picked up and other things. There's several games for sale. If you don't follow us or check us out on Twitter, I spent the 2 days coming back from Gen Con just opening all the games, punching all the games, taking pictures, posting things there, and I also post a couple of the things that we just straight bought for retail. I know we have some MOA Ideas games, Liberatores, Mini Rails, I don't remember what, oh, Tulip Bubble, I believe those were all for sale. We picked up from Artana, we got Speakeasy Blues, so we've got a bunch of other games and things to check out. So you can see that. But other than that, it's all the games I'm going to review. I came home with like 50 games from Gen Con. So if I play 5 a week and review 5 a week, that'll do 10 weeks. And then we'll be at PAX Unplugged, which I believe both Kathy and I are planning on attending. So, yeah. So we roll from here. Unfortunately, I have not had a lot of time. Like I said, I came home those 2 days and had to punch a whole bunch. And then we were at this leadership summit and now prepping to go away for our 10th anniversary. So I have not had a lot of time to crack into those games in terms of play, but I've opened pretty much everything. And I'll talk a little bit more about review copies and things at the end briefly. So I'm just going to run you through a couple games that I played before Gen Con and the few things I've got a chance to play since Gen Con here. So take it away. The first one is Jurassic Park Danger, the adventure strategy game from Ravensburger. It's a Target exclusive, so you can't get it in our store. Realize that. But basically, what's happening is you're all taking on various roles of characters from the original Jurassic Park movie, and then one person is playing the dinosaurs, Dilophosaurus, T-Rex, and Velociraptor. And you have like a series of cards. They work a little bit differently, but all the characters, everybody gets to play a card face down, then you flip it over, and you do what you're trying to do. The humans? The humans are trying to get to the three locations, turn on the power, turn on the fences, turn on the security systems, and then get out of the park to the helicopter. They want to be able to call the helicopter to get out. The dinosaurs are trying to stop them, and they have to like eat a number of people equal to the number of players or something like that. Gameplay is really simple. The theme is great. Game was not very good. I don't know if we did something wrong. I know people got to play this at the library, and they seem to be enjoying it, so I'm still interested as to whether we did something wrong, but we just immediately went in four different directions. The dinosaur didn't, you know, was able to stop us a little bit, basically get us to discard cards, but they'd make somebody discard one or two, but, you know, you have 10 cards, and that's how you get eaten. People were able to turn on the power, discard cards to be able to do that, and then we just locked the dinosaurs in fences and ran out. Like, it was, there really wasn't much to it, so I would definitely need a second play, but I don't know that I'll get a second play. So again, I love the theme, I love this game, it seemed like it had mechanisms to make it better, but it just didn't come together for us, so that was that one. Next up is Raids from Yellow Games. And this is by Brett J. Gilbert and Matthew Dunstan, who made Elysium, which is a game I absolutely love, as well as other games that they've made. So Raids is a Viking themed game, but it's kind of a rondel. Is it a rondel? No, it's that Takedo track where you go around and whoever's last gets to go next, kind of thing. Wait a second. Nope, it's not like that. It's you just keep going around like Heaven and Ale does and Lignum in turn order, but if you're behind, then the tiles get eaten up. So you're basically choosing how far you want to go, and then you go to that tile. You don't take the tile when you go there. You take it at the start of your next turn, so that way people can stop on your space and they can battle you. So you're trying to collect lots of different things. You're trying to collect goods that can then later be shipped to ports. You're trying to collect cannons. You're trying to collect sails. You're trying to collect axes. There are monsters that you either need to just give up a crew member or actually fight them with your weapons and whatnot and give up more crew members. And then when you fight other players, it's like a little bidding mechanism. So I say, okay, I'm going to fight you, and I put in one Viking, and then you have to put in two, and then I put in three, and then you put in four, blah, 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 back and forth along those lines. That's probably the worst part about the game. Worst is such a bad word in this case, because it's a good game. It's just too fixed. Like, I know that it's nice that there's no randomness, but it's too fixed. I think I might have said it wrong. I think you have to start bidding with, is it one or two? I'm sorry, I don't remember. But you have to start at a certain amount. You can't just say, I'm going to put in three, now will you put in four? So you have to start at a fixed number. And it feels like it's a little bit of a foregone conclusion. So it doesn't take away from the game, but it just makes it like, well, I'm just going to stop there and you don't have any and blah, 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 blah. So you kind of know what's going to happen, which doesn't really bring a lot of interest to the battles. They're not really battles. It's a very Euro-y game. But you do this for four rounds, and there's a condition at the end of each one for like players who score points for other things. You collect money by raiding villages, all sorts of things, and then everything kind of cashes out to money and plunder at the end. Whoever has the most wins. I really enjoyed it. I know Brian got a chance to play it a second time. He played it with me the first, and he said it went well the second time. But again, those battles are just kind of a little bit too predictable. And they can be a somewhat key part of the game, or if you just don't recognize it, and then you kind of lose a turn because you get attacked and didn't realize it. So that would be probably the biggest flaw with the game. But overall, really solid game. We have a copy at the store, so people can check that out and play that. But that is Raids from Yellow Games. Overall, a very good game. All right, so then what have I played since Gen Con? So since Gen Con, well, first let's just start. Well, not start. Middle. Let's go with Root from Leader Games. We had mentioned this. I think I said it was my game of the con for Gen Con. But this game has just come to the table over and over again. Kathy and I got a chance to play it, so you'll probably hear from her on it. Played it at the Portal on Thursday night. I was there. That was the only game I ended up playing there. And it's amazing. Root is really, really good. I have the expansion. I would love to be able to talk about that. That'll hopefully be the next time I'll talk about Root again. But plain and simple, Root is now competing for my favorite game of 2018, which prior to this was Castell. There's a lot of games that came home with me that I'm hoping will move up there. But right now, I'm not sure. It's very neck and neck. I like both. I haven't played Castell in about 2 months, month and a half. So I need to play again. But Root is excellent. It could be played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 with the expansion, as well as co-op and solo with the expansion. So I'm really excited to try that. It just goes over really well. People pick up on it. They leader exactly accomplished what they set out to do. And they set out to make Vast more accessible. And that's exactly what they've done. They just streamlined some things. They simplified some concepts. They made it so that everybody's goal is the same initially, and then you can adjust them from there. I don't really have a lot more to say on the game. I just wanted it out there that, you know, this is an excellent game. This is a 9 or a 10 in terms of that. I know people say they don't give out 10s as much. I'm fine with giving out 10s. Like, I guess there's always this perception of, well, there could always be a game made better than my favorite game. Sure. But I don't care. My favorite game's a 10, and then that one will be a 10. There'll just be more 10s in the world. So I don't really have an issue there in terms of all that. I'll have to see how things shake out. Two-player with Kathy. It wasn't super interesting. I totally screwed up the Airy. She ran over me with the Marquis de Cots. So that, you know, worked out, or didn't work out very well. But it was really my own fault, not so much the balance of the game. And there's definitely more game here than Vast. It's always going to get compared to Vast. I realize that. But Vast felt more like an experience, but this feels like an actual game. Everybody can play off of everybody. It's definitely more interesting to get higher player counts. I've now read the rules and read through solo and how to add the River Folk in and the Lizard Cult, so I'm going to do that ASAP and get all those played. But that is Root. It is phenomenal. Check it out if you haven't. I know it's all over the place. The Kickstarter fulfilled. It sold out like every day at Gen Con. And they had a lot of copies. It wasn't like a sellout like, here, we've got 25 copies and they're gone. They had hundreds of copies and it just sold through. So, congrats to them. Good job, Leader Games. Good job, Cole Worley. Talked to Cole at Gen Con. I said, hey, I played a lot of your heavier, bigger games. Root is the best one. I love all his other games. I like all his other games. Love all his other games. Love, like, yes. Think so. I've had a lot of experience with PAX Premier, John Company a little bit. So, but I love all his games, and this one is the best, hands down. Even though it's the most streamlined, the most accessible. In this case, that's great. That's what makes the game really good. The art is phenomenal. So, excellent game. That is Root, just going back over. Okay, two games I got to play since. First is Villainous, and so Villainous is from Wonderforge, and everybody was all excited about this game came out at Gen Con, and whatnot, and it's at stores now. Villainous is a Disney-themed game. It's kind of playing off that Descendants movie that was from the Disney Channel a while ago, but you're not the, I guess it's not, because Descendants is really the kids of the villains. This is, you're straight up the villains. And it's a really solid game. So it's very light, but what's neat is it's asymmetrical. So kind of nothing like Root, but everybody gets their own two decks. You get a deck of your own cards, and you get a fate deck. And you're basically, on your turn, you're doing a little scythe mechanism where you place your villain on your board on one space, and you get to do the four actions that are there. And one of the things is draw fate cards from other players' decks. So I draw two fate cards from their deck, I pick one, and I play it. What are the fate cards? Well, they're the famous heroes and items and whatnot. You got Peter Pan, you got his sword, you got the genie and the lamp, you know, all these different things that come out. And when I play a fate card on an opponent, I cover up two of the actions on that space. And then there is a disrupt, vanquish action, where you can fight off the heroes with your allies and try to and remove them from the board. And that mechanism is pretty much just straight. If you have equal power, they get discarded. Plain and simple. So again, the mechanisms are pretty simple. What makes it complex is that each villain works differently. They have different goals, different ways they work, So, like, I played Captain Hook, and Captain Hook can dig through his fate deck to find Peter Pan, because he has to get Peter Pan. I played Jafar then, where you have to, like, unlock the Cave of Wonders, and then get there, and get the lamp, and put the genie out, and then lure the genie back to the Sultan's palace, or whatever it is. And so you're trying to achieve your goal. I listened to Tom Vassell's review, and I thought one thing he was really dead on was they were really smart in that you never cross stories. Now, I'm not hugely against that in theme, like the Star Wars LCG. I love that whatever a Star Destroyer can fight a Rancor or whatever the thing that threw people off. That didn't really bother me so much in a card game like that. But here it's really smart. It just keeps everything the same. So when I play cards from your fate deck on you. So Captain Hook is fighting Peter Pan. Ursula's fighting Triton and Eric and Ariel and all those things. The artwork is outstanding. So, like how Dinosaur Island is a good game made great by the theme, because it's essentially Jurassic Park, this is an okay to good game made great by the theme. Like, I would have way less interest in all these little mechanisms if I wasn't being Jafar, or I wasn't being Prince John, or all these other villains. They're definitely missing some key villains, but they're talking about expanding it already. So, you know, some of your favorite villains, that's a great term to use, should be appearing. But it's a really fun game. It's not a kid's game. It doesn't seem to go over well with kids. There's a lot. You're trying to figure out your own deck. So maybe if I completely knew how to play Jafar and I'm just playing Jafar to play along, and then I'm teaching a kid how to play, that might work. But there's a lot of text, a lot of things to do. But grab a kid, you know, that's younger and put them on your team. So maybe this is a good thing to do on an afternoon where you've got parents and kids together. You know, a bunch of you, parents of other kids and whatnot, and team everybody up. I think they could have fun. But it is a solid, like, 45-minute game to get through all that, just because you're reading all that text. Again, if it was your Magic deck and you had read all the cards, you just look at it, know what it does, you're going to play a lot faster. But you're going to play a different villain every time with this game. So that is Villainous, a very good game from Wonderforge. So it's neat to see that. It's neat to see Wonderforge making these, like, family weight games. Which I know that sounds funny, but I'm comparing to Kid Weight, right? I distinguish those. So you've got Wonderforge. Mattel has got a bunch of games that are out now. They had an awesome booth that was really rocking at Gen Con. So I want to get my hands on some of those games. Just various other companies that are really, you know, stepping up and doing this. Big G Creative is getting a bunch of games into Target that are really solid. I know that Home Alone game, they said they're inspired by Netrunner. If that doesn't perk up your ears as a gamer, like, what? You made a Home Alone game based off of Netrunner? Very, very light Netrunner, but seems interesting. So, good times. Good times for games all around. All right, the last game is Maiden's Quest. Maiden's Quest is from WizKids. So the theme here is you're a maiden stuck up in a tower waiting for your savior to come and rescue your knight in shining armor. And then you go, screw this. I'm going to get myself out of here. So I love the theme. So this is a game that you can play in your hand. It's just a deck of cards. Now, once you have the deck, you can take it and travel with you. But there's a whole bunch of cards that you randomize to create your deck. So the box comes with, they're kind of these funny cards. They're almost like half the size of a regular card. They're the same length, but half the width. So they're kind of thin cards. And I'm going to estimate, you know, 120 cards or something in the box. And you shuffle through and make a deck of, like, say, 40. So you're only using about a third of the cards at a time. Maybe even less than that if I thought through. And then you just go through your deck, and there's different encounters. And so they have levels. And so you start, like, on level 1, and you fight anything that's level 1 or level 0. And you can ignore any enemies that are level 2 and 3. And then you basically are just looking for symbols. So I get this enemy, and then I can fan out 5 cards, and I look for symbols that match. And if I get those matching symbols, boom, I can defeat that enemy. I get a bonus, which is usually level up a card, which is kind of flip it and or flip it over. Is the best way I could describe that. There's kind of like 4 cards in one. Each half of a card, you can flip them. And then if I come across, my character will be in the deck, and she'll have some special power for me. And there's some treasure I can find where I don't know what it is, and then I flip it over and find out what it is. And eventually you get to the end of the deck. There's these rest cards, and then you just stop immediately. You change. You go from level 1 to level 2. you shuffle your whole deck, and you go through. When you get to level 2, I believe there's 2A and 2B, so you actually go through the deck twice. And then on level 3, you go through 3 times, and level 4 is the final, and you finish. So you end up going through the deck 1, 2A, 2B, 3Cs. So I think 7 times you go through the deck, trying to defeat the different monsters and whatnot. Your goal is either to vanquish your captor and get rid of them, or to find an exit, which the exits are pretty much, they have to get randomly shuffled in. And if they get randomly shuffled in, then you can find one and you can get out. If they're not, then you have to vanquish your captor. That's the idea. Love the theme. The game's really fun. Again, for the whole game on the go thing, it's probably a little bit, you got to create the deck and then bring that deck with you. And then I guess you could reset that deck. But you know, if you were traveling with it, I took a little card box, like for a regular deck of cards, and I stuck it in there and then put that in my pocket and took that with me to go. So there's going to be some comparison here to Palm Island. I have not played Palm Island. I've heard people talking about Palm Island and being really excited about that. I think Palm Island's like 17 cards and you just have the same ones and you just go. So that's probably going to be a little bit more convenient in terms of like, if that's what you're looking for, literally the game in your pocket. Maiden's Quest would require you to think ahead. Okay, I'm going to be waiting in line or, you know, whatever. I'm going to be waiting for something in the doctor's office, so let me make the deck and bring it with me. Because you bring the whole game, it's not super big, but, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't have a good card box size to go with. But, you know, it's a decent sized box. It doesn't fit in your pocket in terms of all that. So, but, yeah, I really like Maiden's Quest. It's really fun. I've been playing through. It's hard, it's a bit random, but there are things. So I said you just fan out 5 cards, but then there's cards that say, oh, look at another card, or discard a card and draw a new card, and you can kind of see the card that's on top. You can also play this competitively. You can also play it cooperatively with other people, and I think they can make a separate deck or whatever, or have theirs, so I haven't tried any of that yet, but so far it's been very fun. Really enjoyed Maiden's Quest from WizKids Games. All right, and then I'm just going to finish up this episode. It's going to be a shorter one, like I said. Before I get to that. So, these go together. So I just want to talk about review copies and all that. People have been talking about that, and what's fair, and how does this work, and who do you decide, and all these kind of things. And then even from the reviewer end, should I solicit copies or should I not, and all that. So I'll just flat out say, like, I solicit copies. I email people. I try to catch people ahead. I interact with people on Twitter. And then I just went around at Gen Con and pitched who we were and what we were doing and, you know, that we were part of Dice Tower but a separate entity and all those kind of things. And there's great conversations that come out of that and conversations that get us nowhere. And I'm fine. No company ever owes us anything. We are small potatoes, you know, less than 1,000 people listening to an episode. There's way bigger places for people to go. But I guess I just kind of always grew up in the, like, it never hurts to ask, and no is perfectly fine. So why do I do that? Well, the reason I do that is for you, so you can hear about all these games. And then if you are local to our store, so you can come in and play those games. So, you know, the idea is supposed to be the games come to me, and then I'll review them, and then they'll make their way to the store. And there's always something that I know isn't there because I end up playing it or still using it or it sits there for a year and then I grab it to take it home and play with somebody else. So I know that's going to happen every so often. But essentially, you know, these games are available. So I try to stretch them as far as I can. There's some other reviewers and other activities that I let use the games as well. In terms of all that. And then even a demo copy at the store, I don't even think of it as necessarily something you have to play. But if you're like, oh, I really want to see what's inside Istanbul the Dice Game, I can go over and open up Istanbul the Dice Game and be like, oh, here's the components. This is interesting. Yeah, that's something I want to purchase, even if you don't get a chance to play it. I think of that on a rainy Tuesday afternoon, you know, whatever. Rainy, people probably be in the store. But sometime where people aren't there. Tuesday afternoons are good. Go. I'm not denouncing them. I'm just saying, you know, that kind of time, as opposed to when there's a lot of hustle and bustle in the store. People could do that. So, yeah, so that's what we do. You know, frankly, I switched from bi-weekly to weekly, and it's not even I, Kathy and Brian and I. Obviously, I'm trying to do the lion's share on those episodes, and there's just no way that I can review 2 to 4 games a week unless I have them come from somewhere. It's just not going to come out of my pocket. Does some come from the store pocket? Yep. Demo copies and things that we order and whatnot, so I use those. Does some come from my pocket? Absolutely. You know, I spent hundreds of dollars on games at Gen Con of my own money that I, you know, did extra work and put other things aside in terms of all that. But, you know, I spent my own money on those games. So it's not like everything that came home with me was strictly free. It's just not true. I spent money on that. Brian spends money on games, gets those to us, you know, birthdays, whatever, acquiring games that way, trading with people and just, you know, sharing copies with other people so I can get my way to play games, or, you know, going to people's houses to play games with them that they own so that I can try to cover as many things as possible. Now, for me, luckily, I like to play new games. I pretty much prefer to play a new game than replay an old game. Now, that's obviously not true. My top 20 games of all time, I'm dying to replay all the time. But in general, I just much prefer to play a new game. I love the experience of opening a game. I love the experience of learning a game. I love the experience of teaching a game. I love the experience of breaking down a game, the post-analysis of a game, comparing games to other games. I love all that stuff. Makes sense. I review and whatnot. And frankly, I just couldn't do it unless, you know, I was able to get those copies. So like I said, 50 games, 40-something games, and a few more hopefully are in the mail and whatnot, came in from all sorts of companies. And again, things that I purchased as well. I guess I don't really clarify what's what in terms of all that. And some things, like I said, are demo copies. So that's literally the store orders that and pays some, you know, some amount of money. So there's money being exchanged for some games, and other things are coming in and whatnot. And I don't really have a major issue with that. I don't know if people do. Oh, you get access to all these games. It's like, yeah, but then I'm using it. So 50 games, 5 a week for 10 weeks, if I can even go at that pace, that's a lot of work. I mean, even if I just talk about each game for 5 minutes, that's 25 minutes on the podcast. Then you got to play and learn each of those games, which is pretty much me. This is not, you know, somebody else teaching. So, you know, if the game is a 30-minute game and it takes 5 minutes to open and 5 minutes to read the rules, that's another 40 minutes right there. So you're talking about hours of gaming that goes into this. So, you know, I think it just makes sense at that point. Anything that I did for hours, you know, would have some return. And I think the companies are thinking the same way. They're hoping that there's a return on their investment. Like, okay, we're going to give this to you. You're going to review it. People are going to get eyes on it, ears on it, all that, good or bad. Whichever way your review goes, you know, and then it'll will be available there for people as well. So, yeah, that's just kind of my take on that. I think that's just how it's going to work. I totally understand when people say, like, oh, I don't want to ask for copies. Like, it does get exhausting to go around to booths at Gen Con or to be sending emails and trying to explain. And, you know, there are times where companies just, they're just not into it. Like, we don't think this is beneficial to us. You know, we've got Dice Tower, we've got Man vs. Meeple, we've got Rotto, we've got John Gets Games, we've got Watch It Played. All these people are way more valuable to us, and absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, I think having done this for a retail store for a while, I understand the benefit of retail, and the people are there going to walk in and don't know anything about those games. They're not clued in to the podcasts, to the YouTube channels, to Twitter, Facebook groups, whatever else, you know, you've got out there. They're just walking in. They're like, hey, I really liked Dead of Winter 5 years ago. Let me see what else I have in this store. And if you have something there that's available that could be shown off at that time, I think you can really catch those people. And then we just see it. I think you see it too. People are just coming back to board games. Board games are kicking up, you know, their game, and in return, people are coming back. I talk to people all the time from my church, my community, school, wherever, and they're like, you know, we're playing more board games lately. I'm noticing more board games at stores and places. And so, you know, I think that's just an opportunity to reach more people, for more people to see things. So that's kind of where I'm at with that in terms of what I'm doing. Just a big thank you to companies. There's so many, I'm not going to list them all, but there's just a ton of companies that just took a chance on us and said, here you go, take this, review it, play it with people, do what you must, and all that. And I thank them. So I'll just run through some of the games if you didn't get a chance to see on Twitter. I'm just going to go off the top of my head. We also did this kind of the end of the last podcast, but I'm just going to kind of see. So I've got the Near and Far Amber Mines expansion from Red Raven Games, Shifting Realms from Soaring Rhino. We've got Magic Maze Kids from Dude Games and Outlive from them as well. I've got Rise of Queensdale from Ravensburger and Aaliyah. I've got founders of Gloomhaven from Cephalofair, Root and the Expansion from Leader Games. I've got, oh my goodness, so many things. Lucky Duck Games gave us a whole bunch, so let me think. Zombie Tsunami, and Vikings Gone Wild and the Expansion, as well as Fruit Ninja, which Zephyr's loving, so I'm hoping I'm going to get her to do a review of some of those. She loves that game. Other games. Oh my goodness, I don't have my stack in front of me, so it's like, no! I've got the Heart of Crown expansion. I've got Coimbra and Newton, and my mind is going blank now trying to think of all these different things we have. We have Order of the Gilded Compass from Gray Fox Games. We have... this is boring podcasting, because now I'm trying to remember what's in my piles. So many things I'm excited to play. We have A Tale of Pirates, which I got a chance to play a little bit of. Can't really do a review until I play through that, but that's really neat, app-driven game where you open, it's like a campaign. Once you open things, you can just reset and play again, but that's a cool game from Cranio Creations. Yeah. But tons of other companies. What did I even bring? AEG gave me a whole bunch of games. We've got the map pack for Restoration Games, Downforce. We've got that in the store as well. An extra map for Downforce and some few more cards, which I think people will really be enjoying. I know there's so many more companies, so I feel bad not remembering them all, but I think it'll be a little boring at this point as I try to one by one remember. Hero Realms, I've got some packs for that and whatnot. So anyway, thanks to all those companies. Thanks to everybody listening. That's just a little bit of my mind and my thought on that. Let me know, though, if you feel different or whatever, or feel like I should do something different. Be fine in terms of all that. So shorter episode after our long episode there. Hope you enjoyed this one. Hope you heard about a couple games that maybe you hadn't. And we should be rolling in those Gen Con games really soon. You should hear from Kathy and I on the next episode. But that'll wrap up episode 97 for now. I am your host, The Brant, and I hope you step into the portal. Portal Game Podcast is the product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on August 11, 2018. Happy birthday, Mom! Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Game Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. And thanks for listening.